About a year and a half ago, I preached a sermon titled A Theology for the 21st Century. I remember well at the time I was a little worried that I had too much material for just one sermon, and I articulated that at the beginning, that I split it into two parts, and I laughingly said two parts each would be an hour long. Similar chuckle like that arose from the congregation at the time. So hindsight is always one of our best teachers, and I have been thinking about that sermon for some time and realized that to do the topic justice, you need a little bit more than one sermon. And so we're going to have 10. Roger and I are offering a sermon series this year, a monthly sermon series called a UU theology for the 21st century. And there will be a companion course that goes along with that, a class on the third Tuesday of the month, both an afternoon and an evening. You can see a flyer in your order of service, and you can sign up to get information about the class at the connections table after the service. So this is the inaugural sermon of this series, and I want to lay a little groundwork so that we can understand where we're coming from, so that we can appreciate where we're going. So let me begin with the grounding concept of the whole sermon series, and that is the idea of theology. What is theology? And why should we care about theology at all? Isn't that something for seminarians and theologians? What is the role of theology in our everyday lives? Whether it is clear to us or not, each of us has a functional theology for navigating the big religious questions. We hold views about the meaning of life, our purpose, our place in the universe, what happens after death. Theology includes ideas about the nature of being human and the ultimate destiny of humankind. It includes ideas about the nature of God, including the idea of no God. We have a framework for answering these big questions, whether we can articulate it or not, whether it is even in our consciousness or not. Some of these ideas may come from your childhood religion. Some may come from ideas you've rejected from your childhood religion. It could come from your current engagement or the culture that we are steeped in. This theology creates a frame of reference for our lives and our choices. For example, the Orthodox frame of theology is the idea of an all-knowing God who has a plan for each of us, and our purpose is to understand and live in harmony with that plan. Others may have a frame that everything has evolved from a great creative force that drives the universe, and our purpose is to engage with and resonate with that creative force. Still others may hold the theology that centers on humans as actors in the world, and that it is human actions alone that can save us. I could go on. You can fill in your own blanks. Whether conscious or not, these frames affect the choices we make about how we live our lives. And among us here in this congregation, you will find many theological frames. As UUs, we encourage developing our own ideas about what we believe about the ultimate. So theology is the process of examining these frames, studying the underlying assumptions and how they influence our lives and the choices we make. Our theology must make sense to us, and it must inspire us to make a difference. Being intentional about our theology allows us to make choices that support our beliefs and our values. We come together to deepen our lives and be a force for healing in the world. I was inspired to offer these sermons and classes because I believe that we need a grounding and sustaining theology now more than ever. We are at a great time of upheaval, a great turning. It is a time of challenge and opportunity. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we turn ourselves into the well. Many of us are called to step up to be a part of this great turning, and we need a robust theology to motivate and sustain us. As Rebecca Parker tells us, effective work for social change requires people of faith who are theologically literate and engaged. But as we heard in the reading I shared earlier, being theologically literate and engaged is more than just building your own theology. We need the power of a shared theology. By becoming articulate in UU theology, we can evaluate our own theological heritage in a more responsible way. We can say, this is who we are together. So in this inaugural sermon of the series, I want to outline some of the power and depth of our shared UU theology. So those of you who have attended our Exploring UU classes know that Unitarian and Universalist inherit our theology from two different denominations, the Unitarians and the Universalists, which merged in the mid-20th century. Each of these denominations has brought us a distinct focus, but both have sprung in their time as a response to the doctrine of Calvinism, which said that human beings were depraved in their very essence, and that an almighty God had predestined who was going to heaven and who was going to hell. This is the ground in which both Unitarian and Universalist thought sprang. Our religious ancestors were the heretics in their era, speaking out against this theology and creating a powerful new possibility for what it could mean to be religious. So let me outline what is good and powerful in our inherited UU theology. We are a liberal religion. I don't mean we vote Democratic and we're members of the Green Party. I mean that we respond to the changes in the world. We are liberal in the sense of being opened to new ideas. We are a creative and life-giving denomination. Our theology springs forth and responds to the changes in the world. An example of that is the current discussion about the eighth principle, adding a new principle to our seven principles, which is focused on the challenge of creating an anti-racist, inclusive world. We are a creative and life-giving religion. Our theology is grounded in the essential goodness of humanity. This was directly countering the ideas that humans were born depraved. How many of you were told when you were a kid that you were born into sin? Me too. Unitarian and Universalist theology responded that by talking about the inherent worth and goodness of every human being. A powerful, life-affirming statement. Our Universalist forebears envisioned a God who was loving rather than punishing. They argued that if God was a source of love and a loving God, no one was going to hell. No one was going to hell. They argued this at a time when people lived in fear of hell, when it was believed that the only way a person could lead a good life is the fear of going to hell. Our Universalist forebearer said, God is a loving God. All are saved. No loving God would send a person to eternal damnation. A powerful heretical statement. And many Universalists couldn't vote. They couldn't serve on juries. They were shunned because of the powerful statement that they were making. It caused fear in the power structures of their time. In more recent times, Unitarian Universalist theologies have transformed this idea of God and divinity into the greater idea of oneness, drawing on Hindu and Buddhist and Taoist ideas. We talk about interdependence, interconnectedness. Our seventh principle is respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, a new vision of divinity. A new vision of God, where we are one among all the beings and all the life forces. Now more than ever, love is the center of our theology. And this comes out of our origins, where both the Unitarians and the Universalists countered the violent redemption theology of the cross. I was raised to believe that Jesus died for my sins, that God had to send his only son to die a horrible death so that I could be freed. Both Unitarians and Universalists rejected this idea that we needed a violent redemption in order to be fully alive and fully present in our world. We embrace this power of love as expressed in all religions, including the message of Jesus. Both Unitarians and Universalists have also countered this idea of separating the world into the saved and the damned. We do this in ways that aren't religious. We separate the world in so many ways, but the saved and the damned is a theological way. But you can name all the divisions that we separate people into. But our theology advocates for a world community of religious tolerance that embraces difference. We believe in drawing the circle wider to include all. I don't know about you, but I feel a strong sense of pride when I listen to those points of power of our theology and how it has been brought down to us through the last 200 plus years. This is a powerful theology, one which we can draw on for strength and understanding. It's the well that we can draw from. But I have to name that in our current world, many aspects of our UU theology and culture are a vestige of a way of thinking that has some limits for helping us to become the people and the community that we long to be. Next month, I will reflect on some of the ways that this historic theology has not served us well and outline some of the ideas for how we needed to shift our theology to be more relevant and more life-giving for a time such as this. And we can hold both those things at the same time. We can hold the beauty and the power of this theology that we've inherited, and we can recognize as liberal theologians, I bless all of you as theologians, we can recognize that we need to grow and shift. We need to claim. We need to leave behind the things that don't work, and we need to draw in the changes that make us relevant and powerful in the current world. So after I do another general sermon about UU theology and the changes that we made, Reverend Roger and I will explore various theological elements and reflect on our UU theology around that element. What is our heritage? What do we need to shift? How do we need to see things differently? We're going to talk about eschatology, which is the end times, what we believe about the destiny of humans. Ecclesiology, how we come together and what's the meaning of our coming together. We'll talk about the nature of being human, salvation, nature of evil, ideas about God and ultimate meaning. It's going to be a good time. At least for me. Our sermons will draw on current UU theologians, including many people of color whose voices are so critical for understanding our world and our future. And our companion class will use a book called A House for Hope, The Promise of Progressive Religions for the 21st Century. You can learn, as I said, you can learn more about the class starting in October, third Tuesday in October, in a flyer in your order of service and out at the connections table. The goal of all this is to challenge and stimulate your thinking so that we can craft together a new UU theology for the 21st century. A theology that is as robust as what we inherited and as relevant as how we can make it. A theology that we can share and we can draw from for strength and hope as we navigate our world as change makers. Rebecca Parker uses the concept of hope as an important need for what our theology should do to sustain us. Give us hope. Restore our hope. Give us sustaining hope. And I want to close from a quote from her reflecting on this idea of hope. She says, to thrive, hope requires a home, a sustaining structure of community, meaning, and ritual. Only with such habitation can hope manifest the spiritual stamina it needs to confront evil. Only with such a habitation, such a home, can hope manifest the spiritual stamina it needs to confront evil, to endure through trouble, and hold fast to what is good. So may it be. Blessed be.